flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
Hey, no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks. It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, what's going on? Okay, how about that? Grandy is back in for Dibs again today, all week long. Glad you're with us. Yes, Steve Kerr in 15 minutes. Another knockout entrant is going to be on in 4 o'clock. The Vegas trip that we'll tell you all about. All of that on the line. And absolutely, as always, we want to hear from you. Whether it's text, tweet, YouTube, or 888-957-9570. Where the hell has that been?
It's a great question, Mark. I don't have the answer for you.
Nobody does. I don't know if they do. I mean, we could ask Steve in 15 minutes, where's that been? And he'll probably just chuckle, right?
Because wish I knew.
I don't know if they know.
They'd be paying me a whole lot more money if I had the answer to that question.
Ah, that was fun, though, wasn't it?
It was just nice to have a basketball game where I saw this a little bit on social media. There were some Warrior fans hitting me up and tweeting at me. This is the first game in a while they felt like, oh, I wish I was at Chase Center for that.
That's a good one. That's a good one. And help me with this. I'm trying to figure out my own vibe in the room last night. You know how many times we've talked about the Warriors are locked in a close game and you go, but I felt the whole time like they were going to lose.
Mm.
Sometimes even when they're winning. But like that Laker game last weekend, like, they're not winning this.
That one felt different than this. I mean, the first half is one thing in this one, but once the Warriors got close in the third and it stayed close at the end of the third, then it kind of shifts a little bit.
I knew it was going to be a close game, but for example, go back to the game in Minnesota a week and a half ago, and I'm sitting there going, now, even though they won, like they were up by 20 in the first half, and I'm like, that's not going to last. This is going to be close. They're probably going to lose.
Yeah.
And then they snuck away with it. why in the fourth quarter last night did I feel the whole time like they really were going to win the game?
I felt like some of the energy and the effort and just how locked in they were, it was different. There was a different energy and a different feel, and that like goes beyond making shots, like the Kyle Anderson fadeaway, the Brandon Pajemski step back in the final few minutes.
Pods is back.
Four straight really solid games.
What is he doing? He looks calm and comfortable, and Kevon Looney's calling him a bleepity bleep on the podium. Did you see that?
I did not see that.
Yeah, he's like, Pods is kind of a, can I say, if I take the two S's out of it, can you say that phrase or no? You don't know what the phrase is.
Oh, I think I know
what you're
saying.
He called him poll. Anyway, right? Can you say that? Anyway, he's like, he's kind of, that's how he kind of is sometimes, but you want that in your point guard.
And he's been good ever since he came back from injury. Yeah. There's a different swagger around Pajemski right now, and I think that's a good way to describe last night. The Warriors' swagger felt a little bit different, but you have to ask yourself why. Was it worried because they were about to be embarrassed on their home floor by the best team in the Western Conference? Was it, we might all be traded if we keep losing basketball games? Was it just a random day where the stars aligned and Looney scored 18 and GP2 scored 15 and Wiggins scored 27?
I mean, on a day when Bob Myers comes on the station and says these teams are so much more locked into what fans and media think, and we'll play it for you in just a second, so much more locked into what fans and media think than maybe you realize, and you, like you listening to us, you have a say in what the, like, that's to me is one of my main messages to our audience today.
You callers,
you have a say in what the Warriors do. Bob Myers is telling you that the GMs, the owners, the coaches, they sit here and just consume what the public thinks and often make deals based on that.
Hi, Mike Dunleavy.
How am I supposed to take it when the director of sports, Lucas Alexander, tweets out a deal with the Bulls, and literally the five names that he tweets go out there and have the game of their lives? Coincidence? I mean, yes, probably, but like,
they were amazing.
That was so weird. Literally, the names that he threw out there all had the game of the year. That was Kevon Looney's career high.
Regular season career high.
Regular season career high for Kevon Looney. GP2 has the dunk of the year.
Wiggins had 27 and was hitting tough three after tough three.
Looks fantastic, and Slow-Mo had the shot of his Warrior career.
And Schroeder
was aggressive.
Wasn't his best offensive game, but he did everything else. Everything else, including defensively.
He looks different. I don't know, and I've been waiting for this with him. This week, he just has a different energy around him on the court. He looks comfortable. He looks aggressive. He looks like he knows what he wants to do. And yes, he's still not. He's not the best knockdown shooter in the league, but he can hit a shot, and he can attack the basket. And my goodness, he can make a pass. He found GP2 for that dunk.
Yep.
Like, he's been, suddenly this week, he's been the guy the Warriors thought they were getting.
Yeah, he's been good. And the whole team yesterday was good. But,
and that was literally the trade.
Yes.
That's the trade. Those five guys.
And the Warriors, without those five guys, lose last night by 40.
By 40. Absolutely.
So, I mean, Steph had himself an awesome second half, but he could hardly get a shot off or make one in the first half in that one. And they were only down by 10.
I'd like to circle Steph Curry for a second and just notice this about last night. I think that what we saw him do last night is exactly what you were asking for when we've talked about this week. He's still their best player. He was not their leading scorer.
Wiggins with 27.
Right. And so that Steph, a Steph who's pulled from the game with 6-plus minutes to go of a nip-and-tuck game.
Yeah.
A Steph who's pulled from the game so that Steve Kerr can put him back in with 4 minutes to go to give him that finishing energy boost, have it all work. Steph hit some threes, but not have the offense just be like, here, Steph, take the ball and have everybody run at you and let's just see if you can push through. It was sort of Steph taking a little bit, not a back seat, but less pressure, less responsibility on these offensive sets. And if that means that you only score 21 a night when someone else scores 27 or whatever, then great. And maybe that's why he looked the way he did in the fourth quarter.
Maybe. Now, easier to do that when Wiggins goes 5-for-8 from downtown, yes, and 10-for-17 from the field, and Brandon Pajemski is 4-for-6 from the field, and Kevon Looney's 5-for-7, and GP2 is 5-for-7. There are nights where maybe Steph is willing to do that, and you get a 2-for-9 Wiggins night, and then no one else shows up, and you lose by 30 points. Last night was just a night where that game plan worked. OKC was going with the anybody but number 30, and all of the other anybodies stepped up, and the Warriors won as a result.
Well, and that ends up being kind of, I think, the question. And maybe we play with this for a little while. Was last night a repeatable act or not?
For me, it's a clear no.
A clear no.
No.
I think I agree with you. But I also wonder how Warrior fans are feeling after that. Is that a repeatable act? I'm mindful of the fact that Steph Curry a week and a half ago said, stop making trades and let us figure this out. Mm-hmm. Add in what Kevin O'Connor of Yahoo said.
My league sources say Stephen Curry specifically has concerns about Jimmy Butler's fit in the Warriors' locker room, and Steve Kerr shares those feelings. So Golden State's indecision about trading for Butler seems to be largely tied to Steph and Kerr's worries about the personality fit there.
I'm mindful that maybe we're all screaming and yelling to help Steph Curry by making a trade that, checks notes, Steph doesn't want.
Well, maybe he just wants Zach LaVine.
Maybe, but literally the only things we've heard from Steph are, put the trade machine away and let us figure this out. I got concerns about Jimmy Butler. You see a game like last night. I'm not saying that the Warriors don't make a deal, don't want to make a deal. None of that. But so many people are in the streets screaming and yelling, you got to help Steph. And the only things we've heard from him are, oh, we don't want to do anything irresponsible. The only thing we've heard from him is essentially pressuring the Warriors to not make a deal.
Does seem like it, but I'll ask your favorite question back to you. Let's just assume Kevin O'Connor isn't completely fabricating this. I don't think he is. He's well-respected and is plugged in. Why does Steph and Steve and the Warriors want that out there? Maybe it's a message to the Miami Heat. Hey, you're still asking for too much. Lower your price.
Maybe. I really don't think so, though. I don't think that the Jimmy Butler thing, like, I don't think the Warriors are going to be in on Jimmy Butler. I really don't. I don't think it makes a bunch of sense for a bunch of reasons, and you can add what Kevin just said to the list. Look, Steve Kerr is going to join us in about 6 or 7 minutes, and so we're going to get a lot of these questions out there. It's a wonderful day to talk to him. What a win for the Warriors last night. Many would call it the win of the year. But we always want to hear from you. Let's get right to it since Steve is coming up soon. Let's go to Greg in San Ramon. Hi, Greg. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Well, so last night you kind of hit on it. They seem like a new team, and I was thinking in some ways they are a new team because they have the infusion of Post and Santos, and not only that, Wiggins is just doing the dirty work inside lately, getting rebounds, playing defense, and Podzinski and Tatum coming back healthy. Those two guys do the dirty work. You don't even realize. You don't see it in the stat sheet. But they're just a different team, particularly with Podzinski in there. They're just a different team defensively. So I think it all depends on if they can stay healthy. And after last night's game, before last night's game, I thought, well, they're not going to make the playoffs. Now I'm thinking if they had one player added, and it would have to be a special player. I don't want Butler. I don't want LaVine. I want Zion would be perfect, but I don't think they'll get him. So the question is, who can they get?
Yeah.
Other than Zion, who can they get?
Greg, thanks very much. I will say, and he points to Post and Santos, and I'm a big fan of those guys' budding careers. They did combine last night for 3 points. Quentin Post was a starter and then pretty much never went back into the ballgame.
Didn't play the second half.
He got 3 more minutes after his 6 minute, or 2 more minutes after his 6 minute starting stint, and never even took a shot. So last night was not a banner night for those guys. But the larger point is an interesting one. And nights like last night do, I think, make you lean more toward, not like don't make a move, but maybe make a smaller move. I mean, if all those guys that we're talking about who were great last night are gone, that would hurt. That would emotionally hurt if Looney and Payton and Wiggins, I mean, these are longtime Warriors.
I think you said, you brought up the key word there, it would emotionally hurt.
Yes.
And what the Warriors have to balance, and I think what all of us Warrior fans have to balance is, what are we trying to do here? Are we trying to make ourselves feel good, or are we trying to win basketball games? That's the balance. Is it an emotional thing, or is it try to put the best, most talented players on the floor together?
Let's dive into it all with Steve Kerr. He joins us next. We'll tell you about the knockout tournament. Be with us in the 4 o'clock hour for sure. Another knockout spot to be given away. We're sponsored by Safeway. Steve Kerr joins us next on Willard and Dibbs.
That chant, we have not heard it too much this year here at Chase. That Warriors chant echoing through Chase Center. Schroeder with the ball at the logo, guarded by Gilgeous Alexander, goes by him, handoff Payton, goes up, and he dunked it out. Hartenstein, little elevation sensation for GP2, and the Warriors lead 114-105.
Dub Nation, this is GP2. My coach, Steve Kerr, joins Willard and Diggs right here on 95.7 The Game.
Whoo, that was a very nice GP2 there at the end. And it takes a lot to get Tim to pull out the elevation sensation these days.
That one deserved it.
But he did it.
No doubt.
And that might have been the feel-good moment of the year. The Warriors take down the top team in the West, the OKC Thunder. And we get to talk to the head coach right after the fact. So here we go, River Island's guest line. Time for Coach Kerr, presented by Great Clips. In sports, success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips, it's going to be great, just like last night was. Hey, Coach, did you dry off yet?
How'd you find out about that?
Oh, you know, there are birdies everywhere, as you know. Yeah, take us. So what happened when you got in the locker room last night?
Well, there's context to it, but the night before, after we beat Utah, I walked into the locker room and, you know, everybody's on their phones and not even paying attention, you know, to me. And so I asked the guys, I said, hey, did anybody see the Arizona game last night where a kid hit the 60-footer to tie the game and send it to overtime? And they said, yeah, we saw it. I said, well, on SportsCenter, they showed the coach, Tommy Lloyd, when he walked into the locker room and all the players went crazy and doused him with water. I said, how come you guys never do that to me? Like, I just walk in here, you don't even know I'm here. I said, I went, at some point, just please pour some water on me. And so they were ready for me last night.
I said, boy, you got to be careful what you ask for then, I guess.
Got to be careful. I walk in there. And some of the guys started, you know, spraying the water bottles, but I don't. There were two unidentified Warriors who they acted like we had, you know, won the Super Bowl. They dumped the full Gatorade jug on my head. It was fun. It was a great moment.
It was a lot of fun for the fans and for everybody to watch as well. And so I'd love to ask it to you this way: obviously that's you guys at your best, but how repeatable is that, what you saw from all of those individuals last night?
Well, that's the key, right? We have to sustain this and find a way to be more consistent as a team. And we know we're capable, but we just haven't been able, the last couple of months, we have not been able to make it a consistent theme. So that's the goal. I believe we can do it. I believe in our guys and our team. We got a lot of good players, and when we put it together, we're pretty good. So we gotta do whatever we can to make that happen again.
Coach, you obviously had a lot of success as the head coach of the Warriors, but you have been through some rough patches, and I know you guys are in the middle of one right now. So one win, I know a win against Oklahoma City and a win against Utah, despite where they are in the standings, it means the same in terms of where you are in the standings. But what can one win against a team like that do? Is that something that you can build off of and make it a turning point?
I think so, because I think what's been lacking, you know, the last month or so is just confidence. And I think a game like last night can really build confidence and remind the guys how good we can be. And we've got an important stretch here now coming up. You know, we got a little momentum. We know what we can do. I think these games coming up are big. If we can capitalize and get on a little run here, I think we got a great opportunity to get back on track and put ourselves right in the thick of it again.
Steve Kerr with us on Willard and Dibbs. Coach, I want to ask you about the fourth quarter and the way you sort of like worked Steph in and out of the game. But let me start by asking this. Who decides Steph's minutes? Is that you or him usually?
It's always a collaboration, but we have a general idea of, you know, how many shifts he will play. And so, you know, at times during the season, I might go to Steph and just say, hey, what do you think about doing this instead of what we're doing now? He's always very honest if he doesn't like something we suggest. So we make sure that he's on board. And, you know, with this year's team and at his age, where he is in his career, we've just kind of settled on this current routine where he plays the first 8 minutes of the game, starts the second quarter and the fourth quarter, and then gets a few minutes in the middle of the second and the fourth to rest. So that's where we are right now, and it's hard to take him out of the game with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and you know it's a tight game. But we've got to find minutes for him and also maximize his time on the floor, and we like to have him start the second and the fourth, so we're just trying to kind of thread the needle there.
Yeah, so when he came out at that 8 minute mark last night, he was shaking his head, and I'm thinking, well, that could be about 1,000 different things. The internet has decided that he was not happy about being taken out. Can you speak to what was going on there at all?
No, we didn't talk about it after the game. I saw him too, and it could have meant anything. I mean, he had just made a shot, so my guess is he wasn't thrilled about coming out after making a shot. But he trusts me, and I don't, you know, if he's shaking his head, I don't take that personally. I mean, I just feel like we're always collaborating and trying to do the best thing for the team to win. He knows that, I know that, and so it's not a big deal. I know that.
Hard to be too upset, though, considering what happened when he did take that rest. You had multiple big shots from a couple of your others. There was the Pajemski step back, foot on the line, deep right wing. There was the Kyle Anderson fadeaway at the very end of the shot clock buzzer. You got some big buckets from Schroeder. Obviously, you had some points from Looney and GP2 as well. How good was it just to see all of those guys not just score points and make some buckets, but do it in clutch time when your team has struggled a lot of late?
Yeah, that was huge, and you know, sometimes it's your night. I mean, the BP and the Kyle shots, those are difficult shots and not high percentage shots, but clutch moments. They both came through. Loon knocks down a couple of big free throws with a few minutes left. All those guys just stepped up in a big way and helped us finish the game, and that's what it takes, you know. I mean, especially today in today's NBA, I mean, everybody's got 3-point shooting, everybody's playing fast. You've got to score. You've got to find ways to score. It's really hard to win a game just playing defense, and I think, you know, for us, we've got to find additional scoring next to Steph from one night to the next. Last night we found it.
Hey, Coach, did that injury help Brandon Pajemski? It looks to me like the energy you were asking him to have early in the year is now finally here.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, and he told one of our coaches that he felt like sitting for those 10 or 12 games helped him kind of see what was happening on the floor, see where he could attack, see what he could do better. To me, he looks really fresh and strong and athletic, and so sometimes a break in the middle of the season can help in that regard too. But yeah, I think this is the best Brandon's ever looked, and it makes sense. You know, he's a really good player. He got off to a slow start this year, but look, he's first team all rookie a year ago. We know what he's capable of, and he's at the top of his game right now. It's fun to watch.
Coach, I wanted to ask you about Buddy Hield because we know the story of his season. Started off great. It's when your team was winning a lot of games, and the shooting has kind of disappeared, at least for stretches. I thought he had a really awesome second half, though, not because he was making shots, but because he became a distributor, and he set a number of teammates up with easy buckets. How good was it to see him contribute in a major way, even if those shots weren't falling?
Yeah, that was awesome, and you know, that's why Buddy's out there. It goes beyond, you know, him just making shots. It's what he does to the defense. So, you know, he had the pass to Looney early in the second half for the dunk. There's a reason the defense is chasing Buddy Hield all the way out to the three-point line. I mean, he's been doing this for a long time in the league. He's one of the best shooters in the league. So even when he's missing, he's a threat. And I just like the catch-and-shoot nature of his game. You know, the game flows when he's out there. When he's open, he shoots it, and the game continues. And that's where we're at our best. So I know Buddy's going to be a little streaky as a shooter, but he always impacts the game in a good way, whether they go in or not.
Hey, Steve, Bob Myers was on with Stein and Goo earlier today, and it was certainly an interesting listen. And there was one thing in particular that we wanted to play for you. Because, as you know, like all of us fans and media, we're so focused on this looming trade deadline. And Bob said something that caught our attention with regard to the games that happen right before the deadline. And this is what he had to say.
It does. It probably changes it more than it should. You have to temper that, though. You have to look at the body of work and say, how real is this? The issue, though, what you're saying is you have to stop. Say you win four in a row before the deadline or win three in a row. You have to kind of push back on that and go, okay, that was just three games out of 48. Let's just pause a little bit. But it's hard to do that sometimes.
So he's talking about the sort of recency bias and the fact that you guys have won two in a row. You win this big game over OKC. What's your reaction to that, the recent games and how they might affect decision-making?
Well, I mean, I was a GM once for a few years, not a very good one, but I was a GM, so I know exactly what Bob is talking about, and that's the tricky part of all this. You know, if you're a team like us, that's you know, good, not great, that's in the mix, but you know, needs to do better. It's a really tough thing to quantify. You know, what do we need to do to get better? What do we need to do to take a step? And there's no question when you see a game like last night, the temptation is, man, like, let's just keep going like this. Why would we do anything? But Bob's right. You can't just look at one game or two games. You've got to look at the full picture. And that's what Mike and his staff are doing. It's also why I think it's healthy to have a separation between the, you know, management and the coaching staff, because you know, as coaches, you're very married to the moment. It's up and down all year long. And I think management, it's a little easier for them to sort of take the view from above, a little more perspective, and really get, you know, get the information all season long that they need to determine what they're going to do.
What's your view right now on how the players are handling this time and all of the talk that surrounds your team?
I know that they all love it here and want to be here. And I feel the same way about them. You know, one of the things in this business, you get really close to people, and you build up, you know, long friendships and collaborations. And when you're as lucky like we have been to win championships and you know, go to battle, so to speak, with these guys, you don't want to see any of them go. It's hard. And so that's the difficult part. I think the players all understand the business, especially the vets. They get it, but that doesn't make it any easier. You know, this is the toughest part, I think, of the business is right now, trade deadline and a team kind of in flux trying to figure out what to do. It's a tough spot for everybody.
Coach, you're kind of touching on what I wanted to ask you next. How do you balance what you're talking about, the guys that you've grown to love and guys that are great culture builders in the locker room, versus trying to go out there and just put together the most talented team you possibly can? Where's the balance there between making sure you've got the good culture guys, but also putting out, you know, the most talented roster you possibly can?
Well, we know talent wins in this league. It doesn't mean you're guaranteed to win if you have talent, but if you don't have enough talent, you can't go anywhere. That's just the reality. So the question, you know, we have to ask ourselves, and Mike and the front office have to ask themselves, is do we have enough talent? You know, and that's a tricky question to ask, because on some nights, like last night, you go, hell yeah, we do. Like, that looked great. You know, but then other nights, it's clear. Like, we, you know, Steph could use a little help scoring-wise, or we could use this, or we could use that. And then, of course, you sit there and you look at all the options, and you have to determine, does this really help us? And that's what this time is all about. Mike is, you know, gathering all the information, all the possible trades he can make, and then going from there.
Coach Kerr with us here, Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Coach, especially if you do listen to fans and media, like when we watch sports, I think most of the focus is on the offensive end. And so when people are thinking about what may or may not happen next week, they're thinking about the offensive side of the ball. But there could really be a cost on the defensive side. How do you balance that, the sort of the offensive side and the defensive side in terms of roster building?
Well, I have always, as a coach, I've always leaned defense in my decision making. I just have always felt like if you can't get stops, it's just really hard to win games by outscoring people. You know, this season has been a little different in some ways. I think we've had more trouble scoring at times than we've had in the past, and it's made the decision making a little trickier. But I don't know. It's hard for me to, you know, to watch Gary Payton last night, watch Looney, and see their impact, and ever really change my view that defense wins games. I mean, it's yes, you got to score, but man, those guys, I mean, I've been watching it for years. You think about the 22 playoffs, you know, Loon against Memphis and that whole series, and, you know, Gary against Boston. As soon as he got back, we won 4 out of 5 games. These guys are big-time winners, and I love coaching them, and I just believe in them, and I know organizationally we do. And so, you know, that's where you see a game like last night, you just go, hey man, these guys, we need these guys, and they are big impacts on winning. There's no question.
Speaking of last night specifically, Coach, and about the defense, I want to ask you about SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, probably the favorite to win the MVP. I know he scored 52. Your team as a whole, though, played an awesome defensive game. What's the challenge in defending SGA? From an outsider perspective, it kind of reminds me of James Harden on the Rockets. How do you go about trying to limit him? I mean, he scored 52, but you got the win.
Well, whenever we play him, the focus is keeping him off the foul line, and that obviously didn't work last night. He got 21 free throws. You know, we go into games thinking, you know, if we get hold of him to 6 or 8 free throws, we got a really good chance to win. And, because you know he's going to make a lot of mid-range shots. You kind of live with that. You want to just take away the easy stuff and you keep him from getting layups and transition and a bunch of free throws. But easier said than done. He is maybe the toughest guy to guard in the league, just one-on-one. And the good thing for us last night was that we were playing with the lead in much of the fourth quarter. And if not the lead, at least it was tied or a 1-point game, you know, where we were close. So we could at least live with some of his one-on-one stuff because we weren't giving up three-point shots. And the tough thing is, you know, when he's going and you blitz and they start making threes, you're in big trouble. So we kind of made a calculated decision last night to play him one-on-one for the most part and mix in a little zone and try to keep the other guys down. And it worked, but, you know, next time it might not. You got to adapt from game to game.
Steve, everyone was interested to see Quentin Post start last night, and then whatever you saw there in those first handful of minutes led you to not go back to him. First off, what was it that you saw there in the first quarter that maybe wasn't working?
Well, it was, that's a lot to ask for a rookie center to go against the best team in the league, probably the best one-on-one player in the league, you know, pick and roll. So Shea got hot early. We decided to go to Loon. You know, Loon's our best defensive center. We know that. And it just turned into a Loon game. So, Quinn's going to keep playing. I mean, he's an important player for us. We really like what he can do. So I'm not discouraged at all. That was just us, you know, making a decision on what we needed to do to win the game last night.
It's clear that you see, at least, you know, you see something in the future of this player, at least as a rotational player. What's gone on there throughout the year? Like, when do you really know that you're like, hey, we got something here with this individual?
Well, when you see him in camp as a pick and pop big, but, you know, not a guy who is afraid of contact. You know, he's a real 7-footer. 5 years of college. He's physical. You see all that in training camp, and you realize, man, this is something we could really use this year. So then it's, you know, a couple months in Santa Cruz. Let's really help him develop. And I thought he did a great job, and the Santa Cruz staff did a great job of helping him defensively the last couple months. And it just seemed like the right time last week to give him some minutes and help open up the floor. And he did a great job of it. So it's fun to see him out there. He looks like a player to me. He's going to be around for a long time and somebody who can open up the floor for Steph. So I'm excited about Quentin.
Steve, before you go, and this is off subject, but Adam Silver yesterday publicly stated that he's at least intrigued by the idea of 10-minute quarters to sort of help all of this health stuff with players around the league. What do you think about that?
I think it's a good idea. I mean, I'm not saying it's, you know, for sure the right thing to do, but, you know, just in the one calendar week, start camp a week earlier or whatever, spread out the games more. We got to think of everything we can do, because the one thing we know, the league is not going to cut games out of the schedule. I wish they would, but they're not going to. I don't think any of the constituents are going to agree to that just because of the revenue loss. But if we're not going to do that, then shortening the games, lengthening the calendar season so you get more rest for the players, I'm all for that.
Steve, love having you as always. Thank you so much. What a win last night, and good luck tomorrow night.
Thanks for having me, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, we definitely will. There he goes. Right. Coach Steve Kerr with us here on Willard and Dibbs. Okay, a lot to chew on there.
Interesting as always.
Yeah, we will react to all of that. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. You can react to all of that. 888-957-9570, the number. Do you feel last night was a repeatable act for the Golden State Warriors? We'll take your phone calls on that. And I don't know about you, Grandy, I had one very specific sort of overarching observation to listening to Steve in terms of a clue about what's about to happen next, and I'll share that with you next, okay? That's coming up on Willard and Dibbs.